Today's show is brought to you by Bruce Fine Construction. If you can't find the house to buy, maybe it's time to build your house. Bruce built my home, and I know he can build your home too. Check him out today at brucefineconstruction.com or call at 570-362-1185. This episode is brought to you today by Whitehall Mortgage. Where there's a will, there's a Whitehall. Buying a home starts by getting a pre-approval, and nobody does it better than Doug in Dallas. Call them today at 570-562-7505 or apply online at whitehallmortgagefinancial.com. Hey everybody, I'm Dave Weichach. I'm the host of the Real Estate Right Now podcast, but today we're here at the Downtown Real Estate Academy. I'm not only a podcast host and a real estate broker, I'm actually the owner and the director of this school. And today what you're gonna see on our next few episodes here is our pre-licensing students going through a class, and we're gonna talk a little bit about what it is that I do as a teacher. And it's a great look at people who are interested in starting a career in real estate, which I know there's a lot of you out there. Hopefully this will answer a bunch of questions for you. Now today, honestly, if there was a most important class, today would be it, right? So unit 12, it's on page 181. It's the Pennsylvania Real Estate Licensing Law. I mean, this is basically your state exam in a nutshell. If there was one unit that, if you knew it well, it would prepare you to take the test, this would be the one. So we're gonna spend a lot of time today going through this unit, but it probably is, and they're all important in some way, we know that. But this is probably the single most important unit in the entire book. So we're gonna take some time, and you know how I do this. I'll tell you the things that are important and the things that you need to know for the exam, but it's a lot. It's like the one unit in this book that I don't have highlighted. Right? Because I read through all this stuff and I highlight the most important things to make sure you guys know it. Everything is important here. Like, literally, everything's important. Now look, if I tell you something's really great, fine. But I mean, there's nothing to skip. Sometimes, you know, we're doing this and I say, well, that's important to know, read it, but it's not really that relevant. It's this entire unit. So today, here's what we're gonna be able to do by the time we're done. Explain the enforcement authority given to the Real Estate Commission to protect the public with disciplinary procedures and remedies for violations, including access to the Real Estate Recovery Fund. Rule number one in real estate, don't get your broker sued. Right? That's usually a pretty good start. It has happened to me multiple times. So list the different licenses and requirements for obtaining them. Recognize real estate documents and escrow requirements. Identify relationships between licensees and consumers. And discuss major ethical duties and conduct of licensees and conduct in advertising and solicitation. All right, so the first sentence there, all 50 states, Washington, D.C., and all Canadian provinces license and regulate activities of real estate licensees. So that's your salespersons and your brokers. All right, so you guys will be real estate licensees. Again, our license is only good in the state of Pennsylvania. There are seven states, most of them don't make sense, that have reciprocity with Pennsylvania, which means you don't only have to take the state version of the exam, they apply and they give you a license. But on page 182, the purposes of real estate license laws. Real estate license laws protect the public by ensuring a standard of competence and professionalism in the real estate industry. The laws achieve this goal the following ways. Establish basic requirements for obtaining a real estate license, and in many cases, requiring continuing education to keep a license. So in Pennsylvania, in order to get a real estate sales license, you need 75 hours, all right, 5 credits, because each credit is 15 hours, right? So you need 75 hours of pre-licensing education. When I got my license, it was 60 hours. Pennsylvania increased it from 60 to 75 hours of pre-licensing education. Now, once you have your license in Pennsylvania, every 2 years, you have to renew your license. It's the last day of May every even year. All right, so we just did it in May of 2024. everyone will have to renew their license again in May of 2026, and then 2028, 2030, 2032, and so on and so forth. Every 2 years within that renewal period, you need 14 hours of continuing education. We provide continuing education here at the school, so that's good. So once you get your licenses, y'all come back here for your continuing education every 2 years, all right? Now, if you want to get your broker's license in Pennsylvania, a couple rules, we'll go over those shortly, but it's 240 additional hours, all right, to get your broker's license in Pennsylvania. Now, what else does the law achieve? It defines activities for which a license is required. It describes acceptable standards of conduct, and it enforces these standards through a disciplinary system. Last paragraph there is the big one. Pennsylvania's first real estate license law was adopted May 1st of 1929. And it was amended numerous times to reflect the changes in the industry. On February 19th of 1980, the current law, known as RELRA, the Real Estate Licensing and Registration Act, or just the Act, was adopted. The RELRA is a statutory law enacted by the state legislature and signed into law by the governor. The State Real Estate Commission does not have the authority to amend or modify the act. That can only be done by the state legislature. That will be a question on the exam. How can RELRA be modified or amended or changed? Something along those terms. It cannot be done by the Real Estate Commission. It has to be done by the state legislature. That you have to know. RELRA Section 202 established the State Real Estate Commission to administer the act and supervise the activities of licensees in Pennsylvania. Section 404 of RELRA authorized the commission to promulgate rules and regulations that implement and further define the statutory law. Now, this is something else that you'll have to know. This is another question for you. The State Real Estate Commission, down at the bottom of 182, the State Real Estate Commission functions under the Bureau of Professional and Occupational Affairs within the Pennsylvania Department of State. The commission has 11 members. So you have to know how many members are on the Pennsylvania Real Estate Commission. There's 11. They are, one, the commissioner of the Bureau of Professional and Occupational Affairs. Two, the director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, or someone they designate. Three members who represent the public at large. Okay? So that's just like three people, three regular people that represent the public. Five members licensed as real estate brokers, and they must be in the real estate business for at least 10 years. I qualify, but they haven't called me yet. I don't know why. I don't know if I'd answer. Like, I get a lot of phone calls. I'd be like, oh, busy, right? I don't know if I want that job. And then one member licensed as a broker or cemetery broker, having been licensed at least 5 years and sold cemetery lots for at least 10 years. All right, so a cemetery broker is separate than a regular real estate broker. So those are the 11 members of the State Real Estate Commission. It says in practice there in 183, individuals must have the appropriate license before engaging in any activity for which a license is required. Otherwise, they are in violation of the law and can be subject to disciplinary action by the commission. Unlicensed activity is one of the most frequent violations of the act. Unlicensed activity is one of the most frequent violations of the act. What's an example? What does that look like? Well, think about this. You get your real estate license, okay? And you want to get listings, right? You got a list to last. You got to find listings. So you get your real estate license, and how are you going to get listings? How are you going to find people that want to sell their house? What are some things you could do to find people that want to sell their house? Any ideas on that?
By knowing someone who wants to sell their house.
By knowing someone, that's a good answer, right? How else do you know? You ask them. Right? You ask them. Well, how do you ask them? Call them on the phone. Like, a lot of the real estate business, a lot of the most successful people in this business do their business on the phone. And they might make 100 calls a day, right? Or more. Just calling people, trying to have conversations about real estate. You get hung up on all the time. So now you're thinking to yourself, well, geez, I want to have these conversations, but I'm making 100 calls a day, Monday through Friday. That's 500 calls a week. And from these 500 calls, I'm getting 20 conversations. And out of those 20 conversations, I'm getting 3 appointments. So I got them, and of those 3 appointments, I'm hoping I get one listing. So I'm making 500 phone calls a week. I'm trying to get one listing. And you think to yourself, man, this job would be a lot easier if I had someone making those calls for me. Like, if I didn't have to call 500 people, right? And if I only had to go to just those 3 appointments, how much time does that save me? A lot. The problem is, the person making that phone call has to be a licensed realtor, right? They have to have their license. If they don't have their license, they can't be calling people soliciting a listing. You know, another great way to get listings, I used to do it all the time. Mail's pretty good, but mail's expensive. You know, if you start looking at, hey, what's going on? If you start looking at mail, every door direct mail, direct mailers are big. Everybody's getting direct mail right now, by the way, right? Telling you who to vote for, right? Election day, right around the corner. You're getting direct mail, or 8 days away. Right? Radio's great. Radio's wildly expensive. Billboards are wildly expensive. And I gotta be honest with you, if there's one thing that I don't love in real estate, I don't love billboards. I feel bad saying this because I know guys who sell them. Right? And I'd love to work with them. I would. They're nice guys. But in my opinion, a great billboard is when you're driving down the interstate and it's a red billboard and you see the golden arches and next to it, it says, next exit. That's a great billboard because I can read it, right? And next exit, oh, okay. The next exit is in a mile, and if I get off this exit, there's gonna be a McDonald's there and I'm hungry. That's a good billboard. Where I see realtors go wrong with billboards all the time, and it's even worse on those electronic ones. First of all, you're up there for 15 seconds, 12 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever it may be, right? And it'll say, call Susie Smith, number one listing agent in the neighborhood. If you have a house to sell, call Susie. She's the best. She works at XYZ Real Estate. Her number is 570-239-7742. Her office, can't read it, man. I'm driving 66. I got 73 deer running across the road on my way home from here. I'm not reading that billboard. It doesn't work in real estate. It's too hard, right? So I don't love that. And they're expensive, you know? Social media is great, obviously. That's one of my all-time, I mean, it's one thing that I take probably more serious than most people in this business. But something that was ultra effective, it will always work. It's easier if you're a guy to take a girl with you, knock on people's door. Door knocking works. It gives people massive anxiety. 99% of the realtors out there are unwilling to do it, and it works. If you have someone that wants a house, knock on the door in every house and ask if they're gonna sell. I used to do this when I had listings. And I'm telling you now, like, when I started, it was easier to work with buyers. 12 years later, it's the opposite. It's easier to work with sellers. But when it was easier to work with buyers, A lot of people actually, believe it or not, didn't love listing properties, which is crazy. But this strategy will work for you, I guarantee it, if you do it. Remember I told that story about that lady who stood up in front of the room and she said everything that she did to be successful in her business and I couldn't figure out why, and I went up and I asked her, I said, why did you do that? She said, no one's gonna do it anyway. I guarantee you this will work for you if you wanna sell houses, all right? When I used to get a listing, all right, whenever I put the sign in the ground, I'd box out the next 2 hours of my day. And sometimes I was done in 20 minutes, and sometimes I needed those 2 hours and even more time. But what I would do every time I listed a property, I'd put the sign in the front yard, all right? And most of my listings were in town, or in a town, right? So what I would do, I would put that sign in the yard, and I would go at least, depending on how big the street is and how close the houses are and so on and so forth, I'd put that sign in the ground, and I'd go 10 houses in this direction, 10 houses in this direction, I'd cross the street and I'd go down the other side of the street and I'd have a stack of business cards with me. And if you knock on someone's door and they answer, they will give you 5 seconds before they hate you. They'll give you 5 seconds. So you have to have it out. You have to know what you're gonna say and you have to have it out in 5 seconds. If it takes longer, you lose. Because now they're like, I hate this person, they're wasting my time. Right? But they'll give you 5 seconds. So I'd have my business card in my hand, I'd knock on the door. When the person came to the door, I would say, hi, I'm Dave Wychok. I just listed that house down the street. If you know anybody looking to move into this neighborhood, have them call me, and I'd hand them my business card. I said that in my life, I don't even know how many thousands of times. And I would go 10 houses in this direction, 10 houses in that direction, I'd cross the street, and I'd hit everybody on that. So like 40 to 50 houses, roughly. Every single time I listed a house. And the vast majority of people would say, okay, thank you, they'd take my card and they'd shut the door. The vast majority. I was hoping for one or two people to say, what house did you list? Because as soon as they ask me a question, I'm not bothering them. Now we're just having a conversation. Right? Just the way we talk, right? Oh, that house right down the street. Oh, is that Mary's house? Yep, that's Mary's house. What does she want for that house? We're going to bring it on the market for $200,000. You think she'll get $200,000 for that house? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Why do you ask? Are you thinking about selling your house? Well, geez, if she can get $200,000 for that, I wonder what I could get for this. How soon are you thinking about selling? Right? And it would be a common occurrence where I would list two or three houses in the same block from having those conversations. Or they would say, hey, what house is for sale? Oh, that house down the street. Oh, you know what? One of my buddies from work is in the market. Really? Do you know, can I call him? Yeah, I'm sure he'd be okay with that. All of a sudden you have another buyer. I just wanted to have a couple conversations with people. And they'll give you 5 seconds. If you take longer than that, you're gonna annoy them and they're not gonna wanna work with you. Just being honest. Like if you say, hey, I'm Dave and I work at Wychok Realty, or wherever you work, right? I'm Dave, I work, I sell houses, and this is what I do, and I listed this house and blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you all the great things about it. No. Wrong. It's a loser. It's not gonna work. You gotta knock on the door, say who you are, say you just listed a house, and say, if you know anybody looking to move to this neighborhood, have them call me and hand them your card, turn around and walk away. And I'll tell you what I noticed. For me, it helped. If I was gonna door knock a neighborhood, I would find another agent in my office that was a girl and I'd take her with me. Because as a guy, you can appear threatening to people. But if you have a girl with you, it looks less threatening. Now, if you're a girl and you want to knock on the door, take another person with you so you don't end up in the basement, you know, unwillingly, right? Because that happens too. People are weird. All right? So protect yourself first and foremost. But I sold a house to guys who are actually friends of mine. They wanted to buy a townhouse in Mountaintop, but they didn't want to live in the one townhouse development that there is. Well, so there's like 40 of those, right? And they're literally on basically one street in one development. There's some townhouses. So I went and I knocked on every single door in that neighborhood that day, seeing if I could find someone that wanted to sell one of those things. And there was a woman who answered the door, but she had It was a front door, and then next to this front door was a glass screen door. And she literally pulled the front door open about 3 inches, asked who I was. I said, hey, I have somebody that's looking to move to this neighborhood. I'm just trying to find someone who'd be willing to sell their house. And she said, I can't talk right now. Put your business card in the mailbox. I'll call you later. And I said, well, I can't put it in the mailbox. Technically, that's illegal. How about I just leave it here? Yeah, that's fine. So I kind of like wedged it in between the screen door. About 3 hours later, I get a call and she goes, hey, you knocked on my door. We spoke through the screen. I said, yeah. She goes, my husband's home from work. We're actually thinking about selling our house. Would you mind coming back? And for me, I didn't mind because it's like a mile from where I lived. I went back that day, sat down with, I guess, like I said, her husband was now home from work. She felt comfortable talking to me, you know, and told them what they told me what they wanted for the house. I called my guys who were interested in buying. I was under contract the next day. And she actually said to me, she goes, yeah, I was a little bit nervous. I didn't want to answer the door because I'm here by myself. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Kids were in school. Husband was at work. Didn't want to answer the door for me. So she spoke through like 3 inches of door. Those types of things work. People won't do them, but they work. Now, circling back on page 183, disciplinary actions and recovery fund. They're going to ask you questions about these, and you need to know. What I'm going to tell you is these fines will add up. You're going to see a lot of them are like per day type fines if you're doing illegal things. So you don't want to get yourself into that situation. Now, the Real Estate Commission is empowered by RELRA to enforce the act and its rules and regulations. When a complaint alleging a violation of the act and or the regulations is received, the Bureau of Professional and Occupational Affairs conducts an investigation to determine if a violation has occurred. The commission is authorized to suspend or revoke a license or registration certificate and or levy fines of up to $1,000. Section 604 of RELRA lists specifically prohibited acts. Common violations include misrepresentation, mishandling escrow funds, inappropriately paying commissions, and misleading advertising. Licensees who engage in prohibited acts may be fined or have their licenses suspended or revoked. All right? You definitely don't want to go down that road. I know people who have had their licenses suspended or revoked. 5 years. Until you can apply to get that back. All right? It's serious business. All right? Look, some things are more fixable than others, you know? So for me, as a broker, my biggest fear, the only thing I don't have bad days. I have bad moments throughout the course of the day. I think that's part of what happens with me. But if there's one thing I absolutely hate in this business is my escrow account. And the reason I hate it is, you know, I've been managing my escrow account now for nearly 9 years. 9 years I've done it perfectly. I have not made a single mistake managing my escrow account. I've yet to receive my gifts from the Pennsylvania Bureau of Professional and Occupational Affairs with a nice card that says, hey Dave, way to go, you're killing it with the escrow, here's a fruit basket. I've never gotten it, right? And I've done it perfect. But if you make a mistake with your escrow account as a broker, you're essentially done. You're done. It's the one thing that they will hammer you for. I know someone who lost his broker license for commingling funds. So what does that mean? Taking money out of your escrow account that you weren't supposed to take out of it, putting it towards something else. Lost his license for 5 years. Got his license back 5 years later. He can work as a salesperson, but he can never be a broker again. All right? That's damaging.
What's an escrow?
So an escrow account. So one thing you'll see, and that's a good question. Again, if there's one thing we do in real estate poorly, is we have a bunch of words and initials and acronyms that maybe people don't understand. So what's your escrow account? So what your escrow account is, sometimes you'll hear people say, hey, I need that EMD. And you're like, what's the EMD? An earnest money deposit. Well, what does that mean? All right, so my buyers, they want to buy a house for $200,000. All right, and they're gonna use a loan. But in order for the listing brokerage to say, yeah, we're gonna market pending, you have to give an earnest money deposit, an EMD, an initial deposit of $5,000. So now you'll take that $5,000 in Northeastern Pennsylvania, and I think in most of the state, it's customary that the listing broker holds the escrow account. Not in every case, but in many cases, the listing brokerage holds it. So if we have a house listed and a buyer sends us a $5,000 check to show that, yes, we're serious about buying that house, I have to cash that check, I have to put it in an account. That's my escrow account. So every brokerage should have, in theory, two accounts. A general account where they pay commissions and rent and payroll and all these other things that we pay, and then an escrow account where that money stays until three ways it comes out. The house sells, right? The sale gets terminated and the buyer and seller agree to where the money goes, or a judgment that says where it goes. So now, if you have that money in escrow, right? Like right now, I don't even know. I think my escrow account has 70 grand in it. That looks pretty good, right? Like if you're an unethical person, that's a lot of money sitting there, right? Let's be honest. You know, you can do a lot, especially around here with that kind of money. But you cannot do it. Because if you do it willingly, I mean,
so it's
theft.
Money?
No. No, it's definitely, it's the exact opposite of that. It's definitely not my money. So that money sits in the account and it stays there. People say, well, what happens to that money? It counts towards your down payment. Oh, so let me circle back. Buying a $200,000 house, they're gonna put a 10% down payment on it. 10% down payment. So 10% of 200,000 is 20 grand. But they gave me 5,000 in my escrow account. So now that 5,000 will apply to their down payment. So now when they have to bring their down payment to the closing, they don't have to bring an extra $20,000. They only have to bring 15, because we already have the five. And then on the closing day, I have a couple different options for how I take it out of the account. A lot of times in Northeastern Pennsylvania, I don't know how it is in most places, but a lot of times what will happen is if the earnest money deposit that I have in my escrow is less than the commission we receive, we retain it and get paid the balance in commission. So what does that look like? $200,000 house. I only represented the seller. Seller gave me 3%. So my commission is $6,000. I have $5,000 sitting in my escrow account. So I'll talk to the title company handling the closing and I'll say, hey, do you want me to write you guys that check for $5,000 and then you write me a check for six? They usually go, no, you can retain it. And instead of us giving you a check for $6,000, we're gonna give you a check for $1,000. So their $1,000 and my $5,000 covers the $6,000 commission. That's usually how it works. Sometimes the escrow deposit that they'll give you, if someone's buying something cash, you know, we've had people give us $100,000 earnest money deposits to show that they're serious about buying a house, and your commission's 10 grand. Well, in that case, I write the full escrow out to title and they send me back what's mine for commission. So that earnest money deposit applies to the down payment from the buyer. Sometimes you'll have people use a VA loan, zero money down. We've had people buy houses with a VA loan, and instead of bringing money to the closing, they actually get money back. Because you have to give them it back. So I hate that escrow account, because there's no reward for getting it right. But there's a very severe penalty for making a mistake. Now, some people, maybe they don't make mistakes. Maybe they, you know, use that money when they shouldn't be using it. And there's a strict penalty for it.
as a broker.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what happens as an agent? Well, as an agent, sometimes your clients will give you the escrow check. Here you go. You have to have it to me within 24 hours. Because as the broker, I have to then deposit it in my account within 24 hours of receiving it. That's the rule. If you do it wrong, there's penalties that go along with that. So it can be stressful for an agent as well. If they're going to send a check to a brokerage as an earnest money deposit, the check has a memo, right? Like a note. Write the address of the house in the memo. Just for my sanity, because we get checks all the time, $5,000, $10,000, $8,000, $7,000, it says house deposit. We have 60 listings. House deposit? I have no idea what it is. And then to make it worse, some companies don't hold escrow. So you represent not the seller, the buyer, and you're getting that escrow check, house deposit. I don't know what it is. So now we have to scramble around and figure out, hey, who got a house under contract? Fortunately, everything we do is electronic, so it makes it a little bit easier for us to track that down because we can see who the buyers and the sellers, their names and stuff like that. But it's stressful, right? So if they're gonna send the check, have them write that in the memo, makes it a lot easier for guys like us. Thanks for joining us for today's episode, everybody. If you want to hear more content, follow us at Real Estate Right Now Pod on YouTube. Once you're there, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. And if you want to follow me directly, check me out. It's Dave Wychok at Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, all the socials that you're already using.